It can be a myriad of different things. Beautiful, sad, inspiring, poignant, and even pertinent and purposeful. It speaks to our five senses on a level we can't even comprehend. We couldn't fathom the world without it. We'll delve into the arena of art with the awesome artist, Rob Grams, on this week's episode of FYI. Welcome to For Your Info.
English.
You got it. Hello, 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 and welcome to another exciting edition of, you guessed it, FYI for your English. And we've got a very special guest with us, a guy who does a little bit of everything. He's a jack of all trades, and he's not afraid to try anything, especially when it comes to the arts. A guy who lives it, loves it, and breathes it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my good friend, Rob Grams. Hey, Rob, what's going on? Welcome aboard, dude.
You, Alberto, you gave me goosebumps. Piel de gallina.
Oh, really? I didn't mean to. I was trying to start off like light, you know?
No, dude.
Get into it. Because
the energy was real. I was feeling it.
Well, we're going to get deep here. We're going to talk about art, and it's something, I guess, that means something different to everybody all around the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you invited me on the show, number one, an honor. Thank you very much. And thank you, listeners of FYI. It's an honor to be here. I'm a fan of the show.
Thank you. FYIers, that's for you guys.
And number two, talking about art in all its various guises, mm-hmm. is a passion of mine.
And not just talking about it, as I said before, living it, loving it, breathing it. I mean, if you're an artist, you don't just put on your Instagram profile, artist. Like, you wake up every day thinking, how can I do stuff or make stuff?
As we said before the show, it's a curse.
It's a curse. Well, you know what? Because I was thinking, oh, art. He's an artist. Oh, she's an artist. Yeah. But in the end, being an artist is a curse. You don't choose it. It chooses you. Is that right?
Exactly. It chooses you. It follows you around. It's an illness. There are points in time, you know, you can be as prolific as the next man, but there are times where you know inside your body, you feel the urge,
right,
to create.
Sure, sure.
Whether you're inspired or not, and that's the curse about it.
That's
the curse.
And you can't help it.
Yeah.
Like Elvis said, I can't help creating things. Well, that's not exactly what he said. But I live by this motto, lema in Spanish, motto. Yeah. ABC, always be creating.
ABC, always be creating.
I mean, do you feel, well, let's start at the beginning. I knew we were going to get right into it. We were going to get deep because, well, we're going to talk about art, you know, can be a very deep thing. It's music. It's the five senses.
It's everything. It's everything that inspires you. And that's like the purpose of it, right? If we look at it. So that's the way I describe it. It's the purpose of everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why a podcast like this episode of FYI for me, I think it'll be really special for the audience because we are going to touch areas of your own lives. I mean, a common thing you'll hear, I'm not a creative person. And I hear that. I'm sure you hear that a lot.
Oh, sure. Everybody. I mean, all the time. I'm not a creative. Oh, no, you're creative. I'm not. I'm like, exactly. Everybody's got a creative side, right?
I mean, the way I describe it, I describe it like this. If you've ever made a decision in your life, mm-hmm. you're a creative person.
Sure.
If you've ever used an adjective, mm-hmm. you're a creative person. Why? Decision-making is founded, its basis is in creativity.
Sure.
You know, you not only have to kind of know what options you have, you then have to have the imagination to kind of simulate how each decision might play out.
And this sounds even like problem solving. I mean, taking it out of the art world, it can help you be a more resolute person, you know, somebody who doesn't look for, you know, an excuse, but they look for a solution. They look for a way.
You are so right about that. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is that in schools and in education, when they're going to cut a program. Mm. Usually they call it from the arts.
Right.
And we're talking about a discipline that helps people be better problem solvers, mm. better communicators. People that are actually, you know, when they get into the outside world, have hard skills
sure.
that are not necessarily accessible through a book.
Right, right, sure. Well, it's a book speaks to you. That's one of the arts as well. Literature is obviously
absolutely.
One of the arts. How many times has a book made you feel?
Every time I read it.
Every time yeah. you read, where you're like, oh my, oh wow. And you can't yeah. put it down. We've all been
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing with a song. You got it on repeat because you just, you know, you're like, I'm going to wear it out.
Yeah.
Desgastarlo, you know, overplay it. But in the end, you know, your body's begging you for it. It's saying, this is right now what I'm feeling. And that's, I think it's something we all identify with, whether it's painting, whether it's art, whether it's, you know, performing arts, yeah. whether it's music, whatever. It's something that speaks to us on a different level. Maybe even a level most laymen, myself, yourself, normal people just don't even really get or understand.
Yeah. I mean, you don't sit down and analyze why you love something.
Right? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like you just know. Mm-hmm. It's innate within you. That's what makes art so hard to define. That's why it's such a subjective kind of topic.
Sure. You know? Because one of my first questions, obviously, okay, it's a tough question, but what is art in general? Yeah. I mean, if you had to define art, what is it? And what is art to you? I mean, you've already given us a little insight, but if you had to define art to somebody, an alien yeah. came down from another planet and said, what is this art you speak of?
Okay, so if an alien approached me and said that, I already have this prepared because you'd be surprised how many people ask this question.
You'd be surprised at how many aliens I meet.
Rather than what is art, like what are artists? And I think what artists do, and I consider, or at least this is a rule I've gone by, whether, no matter the discipline, whether it was music or writing or broadcasting as I do now or painting, mm-hmm. an artist's job is to reflect the world back at itself through his own eyes.
A mirror of sorts.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And art is hard to define because it's so subjective.
Right.
So, like, as an artist, sometimes, I don't know, if you kind of listen to too much criticism, you get too into kind of into the creation of it all.
Right. It's like with English learning, you get into the grammar so exactly. much that you're not into the speaking and enjoying it and exactly. putting the sounds together.
Dude, exactly that. Mm-hmm. Exactly that. I found myself kind of getting carried away with the process rather than just being carried away with the project.
But the process, I mean, life's a journey, not a destination.
Exactly.
Corta y pega, copy and paste. Yeah. I mean, there it is.
I don't know, like I mentor someone now. I've got a guy that we have a mentorship relationship. He's really into art, in this case, like visual art, drawing and painting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been speaking for maybe about 3 months now. And I, honest to God, the first month was just having him like understand what he wants to say. I think that's the most important thing. I think that's what art is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you reflect the world back at itself. That sounds really good, but what does it mean? I mean, mm-hmm. the idea is to kind of uncover those little truths, those little kind of
right.
the things that people don't talk about.
Sure, sure. And you tell them instead of like on the news, like, well, today in Iran, yeah. instead you're telling it through the eyes, well, through beauty, through,
yeah, yeah.
well, art isn't always beautiful, but my point is through a message, through some kind of, as I said, I think the senses, through sound, through, in the case of a podcast,
yeah, yeah.
through colors in the case of painting.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, you engage in many, many arts, Rob. I mean, you've been on stage as a musician. You've been on stage in the theater. You've written, guionizado, you've scripted, you've directed. You do the digital arts, which is totally different. There's a technical side to that as well, you know. First of all, which was the one that lit that fire inside you? You know, you're a painter. And we didn't mention your social media and who you are yet, but we got right into it. But we'll get to it. If you guys want to know who Rob is, you'll just have to stay tuned till the end, but we're going to give you all the information. But he really makes some awesome art, whether that's digital art, broadcasting on his podcast, or painting, or even music. So you do it all. But what was the one where you said, I like this art stuff?
like every 10-year-old child in their bedroom playing air guitar.
You know? Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
I imagine it was quite similar for you.
Oh, too, I still play the air guitar. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
For me, personally, like I was awoken into kind of visual arts thanks to music because, well, Iron Maiden. I was a massive Iron Maiden fan as a kid.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why I play guitar. The album covers is why. You know, that was the first
interesting,
my first interest in kind of, wow, this is awesome.
It was the music and the art all together, the whole package.
Well, that's one thing that for me, music is quite disappointing now. There's none of the revelry of unwrapping the CD and the cover art being special. Now it's a thumbnail.
Sure, sure. Well, you're talking to a guy who's got a record collection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In fact, right after we're done with this podcast, we'll throw on a record. Why not?
Awesome. Awesome.
But I love that too. I remember looking at the lyrics. I mean, that in itself is art. You're reading poetry.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know, I'm going to sound like such an old man now.
Well, we are boomers. Well, no, our parents are boomers. Yeah, but
we're generation. Got them
We're kind of right between Generation X.
Generation X. You're welcome for all the music, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome for all the cool music.
So yeah, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of revelry has been lost in the whole kind of the spectacle of what music used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot more kind of, well, it's a lot easier to access now, I guess.
Right.
You know, you used to have to go and get your CD or record.
Oh, yeah. We would pack up the car, like four or five friends, and we would have a list of, you know, cassettes at first and later. Well, first vinyl, or I'm telling you guys my age here. I'm dating myself, but I remember it was a whole experience. I mean, the new album's out this Friday. I mean, you would go.
Absolutely.
I remember lining up to meet Jane's Addiction and have them sign my record. I mean,
what do you do now? You get them to sign your mobile phone. What the hell? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like music is missing that. You know, it is missing that three-dimensionalism that Iron Maiden. I mean, like you just said, you pull out one of these Iron Maiden albums. It's a visual spectacle, obviously an oral, and careful with this word, oral can be oral de la boca or oral, which means pertaining to the ear. So interesting, music and art together kind of, you know.
And you actually hit on it with the lyrics. I mean, the lyrics used to be printed in the book and you'd study them and you'd know them and you'd feel them. Like on Spotify, you're not getting that. You're not getting that experience.
Yeah, yeah, there's something missing.
But the thing is, I mean, this is our art. So I'm going to circle back.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit how art evolves, mm-hmm. right? Because the same thing happened in visual arts, in painting. Imagine how rare it would have been in the 19th century to see a photograph of someone.
Sure.
Like you are bombarded with imagery right now.
You see millions of photographs a day just opening your Instagram stream.
Exactly. Imagine none of that. Imagine a world where there's no billboards, there's no mobile phones, there's or at least it'd be very uncommon to see photographs even in your home.
Mm-hmm.
That was back then painting was something. You know, you saw a painting and you felt it and you actually made an effort to kind of understand the story that the artist was taking you on.
Sure, sure. The vision, the idea, the message.
Yeah. And a lot of that kind of was lost. I mean, even further back than that, painters were considered nothing. They weren't really considered. They weren't held in esteem like an artist.
Actors were circus freaks.
Dude, and painters were like any other craftsman, like the guy who would make your table and
just
chairs.
You can paint my wall, and then you can paint the Mona Lisa when you're done.
Exactly. and then it grew into something a lot more than that. Like when it's always evolved. It's grew into not really because if anything, painting it's not as common now to see paintings on a wealthy wall. It would depend very much on that wealthy person's taste. Mm-hmm. You know?
But paintings are here to stay. Yeah. I feel like, you know, you can't replace paint. I mean, even my daughter, she likes to paint. It's an activity. It's fun. It's not just like buying a painting. It's, you know, having a clean slate, as we say, and having some watercolors, because that's what she uses. We're not going to give her the permanent oil colors. Just because, you know, she'll do some like Jackson Pollock type stuff, you know.
You'll have a blue sofa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Our sofa will go through a blue period.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. There's something different. A painting is special because there's dimensionality to it, right? It's almost a sculpture, but on a flat surface.
Mm-hmm.
That's what moves me about painting. That's something I learned a lot later in my journey as a visual artist was to appreciate painting for its dimensionality. The way, like, I love when I go to an expressionist or German expo. I went to a German expressionism
exhibit. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was a few weeks ago, and
cool.
Or even more.
Listen
than that,
to but, you. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was at this German expression. I mean, sounds cool, man. Sounds cool.
but the beauty there is not in the kind of the virtuosity of how realistic everything looks. The beauty there is in the simplicity, but in the movement of the paint, the way the artist uses the brush, the colors to kind of pull together this scene that is in some way realism, but not, you know.
Well, in the seventh art film, one that we both love, you've got music. You've got camera angles. You've got special. I mean, you've got everything. You can create this world. But on a painting, you've got a piece of paper or a canvas or, I mean, literally, you've got one dimension to create a whole world.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful
thing. It's a challenge is what it is.
It is. It is. But, I mean, again, like, I always start with purpose. Again, going back, I always start from that kernel of, like, you know, what do I want to reflect at the world? Mm-hmm. And certainly with my paintings.
Mm-hmm. How am I feeling? Is that a part of it too? What do I want to reflect, but how do I feel? And then does that come out in the art too, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, I paint like crazy people weave baskets, you know what I mean? I have a thing that I want to say that the world, that I feel like the world would relate to.
Sure, sure.
And then I figure out a way to say that in a way that will kind of, rather than take you like those Renaissance painters through a story, rather mm-hmm. than going through like a Rembrandt where there's this tale with things to uncover within it. Like, I'm thinking immediately of the painting he did of the moment Jesus told two of his disciples that he was going to be crucified, and there's this shock, and the lighting is beautiful, and the fruit basket and two of the straws kind of make the
attention to detail too. Sure, sure.
So realistic. So he's kind of telling a story there. And what I want to do in my paintings is very much more elicit an emotion, mm-hmm. which is why I would consider myself an expressionist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like your paintings, and we haven't even, guys, if you want to know who this, I mean, we know he's Rob Grams, but if you want to find out where you can follow him, and you can even watch Rob paint live, which must be very soothing for you and for the viewer, but we'll get into that. But Rob, man, your paintings, and I'm not saying this because I'm your friend or because you're here on my podcast, or your paintings say something, man. They speak, the TV head, and it's hard. How many things have been painted? How many times has a duck been painted, or a TV, or, you know, even something simple, like if you want to go back to what is art, Dadaism, a toilet bowl that says our mutt, you know, like Marcel Duchamp and that movement.
Well, look, you know, I'll answer that question with there are only six strings on a guitar, you know, mm-hmm. and everyone plays it in a different way. And that's the beauty of it. Like I could repaint the girl with a pearl earring. Mm-hmm. I could have that model in front of me in the exact same angle, and I would come up with something that would be, you know, a lot more expressionist. Like, the people say that's a portrait. That painting isn't actually a portrait. I can't remember.
It's
the
a great
name.
Word, retrato, portrait.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name actually of the type of art it is. But basically, it's like a Dutch meme. From back in the day.
Oh, wow.
They created these portraits of often fictitious people that represented a kind of a cultural phantasm in society.
Sure, sure. Some kind of lore, some kind of... Right.
Exactly. Mm. Like, it could be a chav in modern days, like, mm-hmm. or a pijo, to say a meme, you know, like a... Mm-hmm. They would represent a kind of a societal kind of cliche.
Sure, sure. Like Commedia dell'arte. You had the clown, the damsel in distress, and like you said, you can only, you know, Mick Jagger did the song. But then if you look at it, the Beatles did Help from My Friends.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You can't knock the Beatles to criticize.
Yeah.
But Joe Cocker?
Yeah.
He took that song and made it his own.
Absolutely. Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Hello. So there's a Knocking on Heaven's Door, another, you know. Yeah. So again, there's, you know, when sometimes I guess people say, oh, everything's been done, every idea has been had, but It not through your eyes. Yeah, exactly. You're an individual.
That's it. And that's what we do as artists. You know, it's weird to use that phrase artist, even for me. And I've done it for a long
I feel
time.
Pretentious when people are like, you're an artist. I'm like, well, I studied fine arts. Yeah.
But you are an artist. I mean, dude, you're one of the most creative people I know.
Stop it. I mean? I'm going to blush.
No, but it's true. You are an artist. And you know, there's something to be said for maybe normalizing that term a little more, because it does feel quite elitist.
Yeah, like a hoity-toity kind of, yeah.
And for me, I don't think about it like that. I think anyone who makes the decision to become an artist, no matter at what position they are on that journey, and it's a long journey. I mean, we're all on it. You're on it. I'm on it.
Oh, sure.
You know, you should feel a lot more comfortable referring to yourself as an artist than I think anyone does. And I've done it for years, and I still feel uncomfortable about it.
But also, like, what is an artist? Somebody who looks at things from a different perspective, you know, somebody who's always looking for the beauty in something. Or it doesn't always have to be beautiful, as we said. Somebody who's looking for the controversy in something. Yeah. And this was something I wanted to ask you as well. The role of art in storytelling, in history, because I always tell people, I say, you know, you can read the history books, but those were written by people that won the war. The artists, as you said, were sometimes the oppressed. So sometimes when you want to know the real story, listen to the music from that time.
Absolutely.
Look at the paintings, the movies.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that as the role of art as a telling our story and what eventually becomes our history?
That is such a salient point, because in many ways you could argue it's hard to separate art from history. And that's just a fact, right? I mean, you look at one of the most basic human
needs. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the caves in France and here in Spain with handprints, with pictures of buffalo and bison.
Greek tragedy. They had full scale floods on stage.
And that need to kind of represent to the world what is happening. I mean, most of the story.
Yeah, they're storytellers in the end, right?
And that's, for me, the one thing that unifies all art, you know, it's communication. It's whether it's a story or trying to elicit an emotion or a feeling.
Right. You've got something to say. Well, that's what I always heard. Like, an artist doesn't want to communicate something. They have to communicate something.
Exactly.
Like, it's burning inside you, and sometimes it can even be used as therapy.
Yeah. Art therapy is a thing. Someone reached out to me once, an art therapist. Mm-hmm. But the guy was in the States, so I couldn't make it over.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of help him out with some of the people that he worked with. And it can be very therapeutic. Then that's the thing, you see, art, artists. People kind of often treat art a lot like a subject, like history. We're talking about how we use it to tell our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you can not only tell the story of human history, human evolution, but you can tell the story of a single man. I mean, look at the way Picasso evolved as an artist.
Sure.
From something that was very classical to something, to cubism.
I mean, so many, like the Beatles, so many different phases. Absolutely. Well, speaking of artists, Beatles are... You can't. There's not one Beatles. There's not one Elvis. There's so many different phases of each artist.
Exactly. Like, I can see a difference in my painting. Like, I experienced this tragedy like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, maybe now, where a few of my friends died, and it put me in a really dark place.
Sure.
For like 2 years.
Yeah, you feel you're not invincible now.
Exactly. Right. One of those moments
faced with your own
mortality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those moments, you know, God's watching you.
You're like, I'm not religious, but somebody's watching me right now.
I'm on the clock here.
So
that's really when I kind of re-embraced that, and I started really. It was a really prolific period for me, and you can see in my work even back then. I mean, I was writing a lot at that time. I was painting. I was drawing. And everything tinged with some sadness or some darkness. But, you know, as an artist, as we've said, it's a curse that, you know, you always have to be creating.
Right.
But that's the blessing of it. That's also the blessing of it, because you process so much, or at least I do. I process so much of what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, the human experience.
Through your art. Yeah, sure, exactly. Sure. So it's therapeutic for the artist, for the person consuming the art.
Absolutely. If it's done well, I mean, that's the thing, right? If it's done well, you are going to experience something. You're going to be taken on a journey. And that journey in itself, even if it's just for the pure purpose of taking you out of your own head for a second, like in the case of Hollywood movies.
Sure.
It doesn't make it any less.
Brings you to another world. Star Wars. I mean, you were in my Star Wars episode.
Yeah, exactly.
For that 2 hours, 90 minutes, whatever it is, you are not on the planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
but in every sense of the word, from the music, John Williams, to everything. So, well, that's a little bit, I wanted to talk about that. What do the different art forms have in common? Because obviously we've just talked about how they intertwine, you know, how you discovered Iron Maiden and the artwork that is Eddie and all of that, the branding, and it's beautiful. It's a whole package, as we said. But what are they all, because we know what they're, painting, you have different tools. You have an easel, you have a paintbrush, filmmaking, you have a camera. But what is one thing that all the different art forms you think have in common?
It's a message. When anyone asks me what's the difference between good and bad art, in my mind, my first question, well, you know, it depends on what the artist is trying to say. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't even care if I don't like what it is that they're saying. And as long as they've achieved the fact that it's made me kind of consider whatever that message is, then it's been a successful work of art.
Right, it's made you think about yourself, about our existence, something.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's that for me is what unites every single piece of art. Like whether it be, you know, the famous Starry Night Van Gogh, he painted it, of the view outside of it is the asylum that it was in at that time.
Oh, wow, right.
And you kind of feel that in the undulating, like there's a freedom to it, there's a wind to it, an air to it. You know, you can almost
can feel the chill.
Exactly.
He's got a one-dimensional thing that makes you feel so many different things.
Exactly.
You know, it's such a powerful tool, isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, and then when you think about it as an artist, you're like, well, I have to respect this because I have this power.
That's one of the first things you have to break if you're a person. Yeah, because I felt that. I felt that. Now, that's one of the first things you have to learn how to live with, maybe if not break, learn how to live with, is the respect that you have for the art. Again, I'll go back to the guy that I'm mentoring right now. Mm-hmm. That was one of his major problems. Is, you know what I mean, for him to paint in oil painting on canvas at the stage that he was at felt like, you know, sacrilege.
Sure, putting the cart before the horse.
Exactly. But how do you learn to do anything, Alberto? You know, doing it.
It's really the only way. The only way to learn something is, I hate to, you know, bring the English back into it, but practice makes perfect. Okay, Rob, the moment has come. Tell us about all the different things you're doing. I know you paint live, you podcast, you broadcast. I mean, you do a little bit of everything. So tell our FYIers where they can find you, and of course give us more information. Tell us about you, man.
Okay, well, first things first, if you want to keep up with me, super easy to do, just join me on Twitter, arroba at @PROBOH. From there you'll be introduced to my Twitch stream. There you'll find me doing my podcast or painting or drawing or something. I'm always up to some kind of creative endeavor. Live on Twitch.
Oh, no, dude, it's great content because, well, you've created a community of people who love art.
Yeah, truly. And now it's been further expanded by the podcast crowd.
Sure.
Who are there for like just an hour a day for a quick laugh and whatnot. Mm. And then the other kind of community that I've built since 2016 that used to see me paint and draw. And it's a really nice mix. Really nice.
It's cool, man. Because Rob, I mean, you can see him painting. He may pick up the guitar. You never know what to expect with Rob. He literally can do a little bit of everything. I've seen him at work. He's a one-man production studio. He'll script it. He'll put down the audio tracks, the video. Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's cool because, well, that's why I wanted to ask you, what do they all have in common? Because I can't just ask an actor in the theater, what do all arts have in common? Well, they've never made their own music. And you've kind of dabbled in all the arts, from the digital arts to the, you know, the performing arts.
And, you know, that can also be, that can be seen as somewhat, not having a specialization can be seen as somewhat of a negative, but I would never say that. I think, you know, look at Da Vinci, you know what I mean? He was a Renaissance man himself, you know, very, very much a Renaissance man. Like, I think that's what unifies art is that need, or what unifies artists is that need to publicly say a thing, whether that thing be, in your case, teaching English or not teaching English, but that unique thing that you
empowering
do that makes it.
People too, which is part of it, you know?
Which makes it, Yeah, what you're doing is you're kind of transferring your fun, your energy, your that upbeat Alberto.
The way I like to learn.
Exactly. And you transfer that to students. No one can tell me that is not art.
Oh, yeah. Dude, thank you. Thank you. So I feel, yeah, well, listen, Rob is on Patreon in the bonus part, which is exclusively for patrons. We're going to talk about some misconceptions about artists, painters, and even creating art. We're going to talk about some tips that Rob's going to give us for people who want to get into art, dealing with writer's block or creative block in general, some of Rob's favorite painters, fascinating art stories, and so much more. But you've got to join us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/AlbertoAlonso. You can get access to the bonus episode every week. You can get weekly and monthly classes with me, plus PDF documents with all the vocabulary. And speaking of my patrons, I want to send a shout out to all of you guys, especially my super duper students, Marta, Candy, Javier, Roberto, David, Jose Maria, Mila, Alex, Edgar, Aina, and don't forget about my interstellar students, Lina, Isabel, Paco, Carmen, and Diego. You guys rock. Thank you so much. If you guys want more information, you can go over to patreon.com/AlbertoAlonso. And Rob, you've got a Patreon too. You better give us your Patreon.
Yeah, that's patreon.com/AlbertoAlonso. Professional Bohemian. That's Bohemio Profesional, but in English.
Professional Bohemian. Check him out. He's Rob. He's going to be with us in the bonus part. But I want to say goodbye in this part with a quote from the musical Rent, from the writer, well, the late defunto in Spanish, Jonathan Larson. And he said, "The opposite of war isn't peace, it's creation." Guys, I sure hope you'll join us in the bonus part of today's FYI.